What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of the Secure D podcast. My name is Matt. I am Secure D, and my guest this week is Mikey of Sneaker Freaker, a longtime friend and just an all-around good dude. He's not too old, but has a bunch of sneaker experience and a million good stories. It's kind of funny when we do podcasts, me and a bunch of my mates, because there's a whole bunch of stuff we can't talk about, and we have to be really careful not to fall into any potholes. But I think we survived unscathed this episode. We talk about a variety of sneaker stuff. It's a really sort of varied and fun episode. Mikey has a ton of international sneaker hunting experience, so he'll definitely be back for another one in the future. Remember, if you have any suggestions for topics that you want us to talk about in future episodes, just hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag SecureDPodcast, and we'll give you a shout out in the episode if we use it. So I hope you guys enjoy it, and this is the latest episode with Mikey from Sneaker Freaker. What's happening, Mikey? How you doing?
Good.
Thank
just
you
back off the trip.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you for getting on board the podcast. And how was Japan?
Yeah, always roller coaster.
Yeah,
always fun.
It's different to last time you were there.
Yeah, much different. Yeah. Pleasure this time. Business last time.
So yeah, I think like it sounds like because I had Paul on the last podcast and he just got back from Japan and he was saying like Tokyo especially is just becoming incredibly westernized. Do you hear English on the streets in Tokyo?
Going from Osaka, no one spoke English.
Yeah.
Coming to Tokyo, it's piece of piss. Everyone speaks English.
Yeah.
More white people than Japanese people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I was there. I haven't been there since 2009. So like 5-6 years. And English was, I reckon, semi-prominent, but not prominent. And I did not see many white people at all six years ago.
Most restaurants you go into? English menu. They know straight away.
Oh, yeah?
English menu. It's either on the other side or they'll see you and they'll bring out an English menu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's changed even from when I was there exactly the same time a year ago. It's changed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really changed quite quickly.
And sneaker scene? Is there some exciting stuff or... No, I know. Like, we don't have to go into specifics.
May have taken a step backwards.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, Harajuku is more just big brands these days, huh?
Yeah, it's like... Compared to here, there's a lot of stores there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of chain stores. Like Atmos has, 10 stores in 15 kilometers. Supreme
has nuts.
4 stores within 8 kilometers of each other.
Yeah.
You know, like there's stores everywhere, but every store's got the same stuff you would pretty much find here.
Yeah.
It's not too different to here.
Yeah. What were the highlights that made your suitcase? What'd you bring back?
De La Soul Dunk Lows. I've been waiting for that.
The original one or yep. the... Oh, so oh, the yeah. white. Yeah,
the white
okay.
and yellow.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, it is ugly as sin to everyone, but I love that shoe and I've been waiting to get it for the right price, which was ended up being nearly $45-50 Australian.
Holy shit. Yeah. New?
Oh, you know...
New enough.
90%. You know, a couple wears here and there, but new enough for me to get excited about.
My favorite... So the Dunk High is one of my favorite Dunk Highs ever, right? Now, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but you might know this more than me. It was quite clear to me when that shoe came out, the High, that it was inspired by the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I looked into it. De La Soul on that album was sued by a band called The Turtles for using... sample without license.
No shit.
If that is a direct reference to that, it's one of the greatest sneaker trolls ever, yeah. And no one has really picked up on
it. Under the radar, like heavy under the radar.
Yeah, because like it was just always the Ninja Turtles. It was clearly the Ninja Turtles, and I just couldn't understand why De La Soul were on it as well. And I googled the Turtles and De La Soul, and like this little article came up and it was like that they had used a sample without license and had got sued.
I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah, so like this was, and I this is like back when the shoe came out or like just after that I looked into it, so my memory might be fuzzy because that was probably 5 years ago, but it has stuck with me, and I don't think I've ever talked about it on here, but yeah, that is quite possibly one of the greatest under the radar stories ever. If that's just a diss shoe.
Yeah.
So gold.
Yeah. No, it was always lows for me. I could never do highs.
Yeah.
Always lows for me.
Yeah.
Especially with SB stuff. I don't know. Mm. Highs in basketball shoe. Skate shoes have to be low.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah.
Always. It's just kind of how it's
So you didn't ball in highs either?
Nah, generally not.
Yeah. You played ball the other night. What are you playing now? do you, because like, I filled in, right? I think I told you, I filled in for my mate's team, and all my basketball shoes are in storage, man. I don't play basketball anymore. Yeah. I played in Jordan 21s.
Well, I played in, what was it? Carolina Blue 10s.
Oh, wow. Night,
and that's been interesting.
10s are one of the worst Jordans for court grip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why Jordan hated them. And I think he only played half a season in them from memory.
13s are still, like, 13 black hats?
Yeah.
I spent my childhood
terrorizing
courts into, like, until, like, they weren't black anymore. They were gray to the bare, like, the bottom layer of the shoe.
Candy 14s for me just after. Yeah. So, like, sure. To this day, me and Andrew Murray, like, we're the Jordan 14 guys. His number plate was AJXIV. For a while, which is gold. And then I think, like, we're the only two guys who, like, what's your favorite Jordan? And we're like, we say the Jordan 14, and people just look at us crazy. Laugh. Yeah. And we're like, well, okay, we could all say the fucking 5 or the 3.
It's
but
very, like a niche. It's very niche.
I was
niche
like, I think Jordan it was the there. First Jordan I paid for with my own money. So then I wore it, like, every second day.
Yeah.
Until I've still got them from, like, the actual pair.
I won't let go of those 13s. I've still got those 13s. I bought them from Kicks 101.
Yeah.
They were 260 Australian. Yeah. Which when I was 9 years old, was fucking
a lot of
mind
money.
Blowing. Yeah, I had to fight, hey, mum, yeah, spot us a 20. I thought I couldn't afford this 260 shit. They're just like, spot us a quick 20.
260 and, would be, yeah, like 380 probably now, maybe more. Like, there was that. And then Jordans, yeah, Jordans were like 300, 350 bucks for a while,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there was that period when I was real young, and like, it was top dollar for shit. Like, you were paying $300 for Jordans. I remember fucking Adidas had that shoe with the computer in it. It was like $500.
I got it sitting in my storage.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it, man.
The Adidas like One?
A computer in a shoe?
Adidas
like, I'm
One.
Gonna get that.
The auto torsion system?
Like, I can't afford $500 as like a year.
Did you
seven.
Buy that at retail?
Nah.
I was gonna say, do you remember that? I went to the factory. I think I got them for like $100.
I think the only shoe I ever played in with Adidas was a T-Mac.
T-Mac 2s were the shoe I had before the 14 and then, or just up, yeah. So I think just after. So my 14s died and my T-Mac 2 was my year 12 season.
Yeah. T-Mac's T-Mac's the god.
Because like, T-Mac was the man. Yeah,
the
god.
They're like, even like I still watch that 13 and 30.
Yeah.
And just speechless.
Yeah, him and Reggie Miller have that like peak ability to just go off. But I'm a huge T-Mac fan. It was like the one of the first NBA jerseys I ever bought and the only pair of basketball shoes for Adidas that I've ever played in.
Yeah.
But yeah, and my three guys on my team had them. It was hilarious.
Like, I still got cutouts from Slam magazines and posters. Impossible is nothing. That for me, Impossible is nothing. One of the best pieces of advertising I've ever seen in my life.
It's and like, you don't have Kevin Garnett conveniently yelling it out at the top of his voice.
Anything is possible. No, just T-Mac for days, and I'm happy.
Yeah. No. Right. All right. We'll kick off with some of our subjects. We'll start it off with like the local scene here. I guess we're both local boys. So. The sneaker scene has changed heaps from a retail perspective here. And I think one thing you brought up was like potentially the lack of like the iconic tier zero-esque style store here. I think what's happened, at least from my perspective, is that like everything's just like factioned off. Yeah. You know, like it's not, we don't have the provider. And back when SB was the shit, Evolve was the number one spot. And then you'd go to PSC or whatever, runners up, you know, Central Boarding Co. or something. But we don't have that like one go-to sort of thing now. The accounts are so spread out. Dakota.
Dude,
yeah.
Chapel Street had like 5 or 6 real go-to spots.
Yeah.
I remember fucking Amsterdam is turning up on Dakota's wall like 2 weeks before the world release. It's like, you're not supposed to have these.
Yeah.
These aren't supposed to be here right now.
I think like, Hans and I...
in trouble in that.
Hans and I spent a lot of our podcast just talking about Chapel Street. Yeah. And like, because I used to do Saturday morning runs on Chapel.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, why do you think that is? Like, do you think we'll get one big iconic store back? I think it's too hard to push GRs these days. That's what kills these, like, mega stores, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's real hard. There is no true... I mean, for our generation, and,
yeah.
I mean, I'm at the end of that generation, but there's no true sneakerhead spot. Even in Australia, I really think the only people that are doing, in my view, real on the money is highs and lows.
Yeah.
They've got Perth locked down. Like,
yeah.
The scene, the way the stores are set up, the way they operate, they're doing it to the old methodology.
Yeah.
And giving it a new edge as well. They've got young kids in there that know their shit and they're being trained the right way, I feel.
Yeah.
Melbourne, I feel, lacks that. It doesn't have that spot where there's homies kicking it out the front 24/7.
Yeah,
you go there and people know your name and
I think kicks is close to that, but it's basketball only.
Serves only basketball. I mean, yeah, when I'm talking true sneakerhead, I'm talking serving the whole
everything,
scene.
Yeah.
Like the clothing, the ethos, the style.
Yeah. Everything. Because we have dope stores, but there isn't that one anymore, yeah. I guess. Like, yeah. I mean, everyone, and that by I mean, like, everyone's factioned out. I mean, you've got Up There doing their thing, and, like, yeah. I mean, Up There is a dope store, but they're, like, very specialized.
Everyone's, yeah, I sort of think there's. Everyone's specializing in their own little niches now.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one person covering the whole faction, yeah. Which it's.
Do you think it's too big now to cover everything though? Like back when we were going to Provider, Chris could have just about everything we cared about outside of Jordan, and Evolve would have all your sort of lifestyle skate stuff. Dakota would have all the running, all the casual, pretty much everything minus Jordan brand and SB. It's almost too much now to fit into a store.
Like, it's way too much. There's way too much. Too much options. Too many sources of information.
Yeah.
And it's, fuck, man, like, a shoe's almost releasing every day. If
yeah.
For a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I say, how the fuck do you keep up with that?
I can't. I've tapped out.
I paid to do this shit on the daily. And I tap out at 6 o'clock every day. And it's like, man, I've got a headache.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't keep up.
Yeah.
And then it's strange because...
I think that kids potentially still feel the affiliation to a store because back when we were doing it, we bought specific styles. Like I think we talked about this before. Like you know, there was you know the guy who collected Pumas or the guy that had every Iverson, and like you'd be like, oh, that's the guy that's got all the Iverson shoes. Yeah. But like, and you would be loyal to stores. But I think now it still similarly works that way. But we're just a little bit older. Like there's the guys that only shop at Sneaker Boy, and there's the guys who only wear Jordans. But are they just buying them because they're hype? Or like, so it's kind of different. So I think like, I mean, Kicks have a very loyal audience and so does Sneaker Boy. Even InQ sort of does too. Yeah, but it's definitely not the same. It's kind of hard to articulate unless you were around
That's
then.
It. If you didn't, again, I was real lucky because I was real young when that was happening. And
yeah.
I sponged it all.
Yeah, yeah.
I was that quiet kid that sat in the background and was just able to watch and learn from like
yeah,
pinnacle
yeah.
dudes like Hans and
yeah.
Chris and so on and so forth
yeah.
that were feeding me information and I was able to watch it unfold. But it, I don't want to sound nostalgic, but
yeah.
even for me, it's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It's much different dynamic now. And I think things like social media and influences like that and just the speed of the game and
yeah.
the size of it.
Oh, the speed's insane.
The size as well.
Yeah.
It just seems like so much bigger. I mean, that's the power of the internet. That's the
yeah.
power of social media. It's in everyone's hand now.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have to travel like me from Eltham to fucking Chapel Street, which was like two
just to look at a printed out catalog.
And you spend like fucking the whole day on that street just going store to store and like,
yeah.
look at the wall.
What's
look,
out?
What is this? Like,
yeah.
I need to take visual photographs so I can remember this shit next week. And like, yeah, it's a lot different. Kids just have, I feel kids, not a bad thing, but kids have it a lot easier now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like way easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, everything's at the palm of your hand.
Yeah. And then I think, for me though, like, I guess so I'm doing that interview for Vinny at the moment. And, one of the questions was like, you know, how do you feel about the scene now? And like, I think even though we're not old, we're, I guess, been around for a while. So it's hard not to be nostalgic. But I do always say that, you know, regardless of all the downsides, I've got 100 times more shoes that I could potentially like now. I'm really into like ETQ and Filling Pieces and like all these other brands that are turning up. So like I kind of just, instead of like getting caught up in the negativity, I just go left. Like I collect Puma discs. You know what I mean? Like nobody buys, but now they do. Now they do.
They're
catching on. So like, I'm like, oh no, if in 2 years I'm like going to have like one of the best disc collections because everyone's going to start buying them. But yeah, I think it's just changing, man. Like, and we don't got like 19-year-old high, like college guy time. You know what I mean? We ain't got time to go spend 8 hours on Chapel Street no more. So,
Look, I'm not angry at it at all. Like, I'm happy to see how many kids are interested in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different dynamic now. You would walk down the street and because the numbers are so small, you sort of knew everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you don't know who people are. And
yeah.
It's kind of an interesting factor because you don't know what dudes are sitting on. You don't know what they're holding.
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Especially now you can buy on the internet, right?
You can't make that assumption anymore. You used to be able to walk down, say, Elizabeth Street and you see a guy wearing this shoe and you see him wearing these jeans, these sunnies
yeah.
and this t-shirt and you go, fuck, he's he hangs at Provider. All right, he's a South Sider. He's a North Sider. You could pick it.
The first time now Hans came into Smith Street when I was working there, he had the Colette 1500s on. And I was like, that guy's the shit. Only because, like, I knew they didn't release in Australia. You would have had to have, like, a hookup over there that got you a pair. And I think they only made, like, 100 pairs or something. And then I was like, and yeah, that doesn't happen anymore because now it's just the internet, right? Like, I look at Tokyo 5s, for instance, because to me, yellow and black's my favorite colorway of shoe. Like, Golden Rods is my favorite dunk. Every ID on Nike I've ever done is yellow, black. That Tokyo 5 is like, what, like $5,000 or something, right?
Yeah, stupid money.
Stupid money. $3,000, $5,000, whatever it is.
Small car.
I know 15 people with that shoe. Yeah. But it does my head in. I'm like, if it's that expensive. But then, like, I'll meet people and they're like, oh, I've got 4 pairs of the Tokyo 5. I'm like, how did that happen? Like, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. There's just kids with more money, I guess. And yeah, plus that is what it is.
The sneaker scene's a lot more tantalizing to make money from now as well.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, back in when... A big Simon shoe.
Not that we're throwing names around.
Not gonna throw names, but I mean, it's different times back then because they had to work a lot harder to make their
own. Oh, yeah.
You couldn't just get 100 pairs and go fucking bang, 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 internet, shop and swap, Instagram, Facebook, fucking gone.
Yeah.
You had to make the connect. You had to sort out a fucking shipping
room. Yeah.
You had to set up the bills and you might not get your money for 5 days.
Now it's like,
bang, fuck, I got my money 3 seconds later.
Yeah.
Bang, see you later. I don't care anymore. Next hit, next chase.
I feel like we're talking about Hans a lot, but he told a great story where he was like,
the kids... greatest dude I've ever met. I'll talk about Hans all fucking day.
He told a great story about how he's like, I had to go to the Camberwell market to sell my shoes because there wasn't even eBay. I'm like, that's so, like, it was the funniest thing ever. But this will kind of bring us on to one of our other topics is, like, will the bubble burst? I'll tell you my opinion, but do you think it will?
It has to.
Okay.
It simply has to. I mean, I've...
It's not going to be the new era disaster.
I've been watching this. I feel like I've been watching this game at least 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 15 at a stretch, but at least 10 years I've been solidly, and I reckon I've been pretty on point with it.
Yeah.
And I've watched the bubble come and go. And the trend's always been around 5-year burst.
Yeah.
This one's bigger.
Yeah.
It seems to be lasting a lot longer. So the yo-yo's stretching.
Yeah.
But it has to burst. Something's got to give for something new to take over.
So my opinion is that I don't necessarily think it's going to burst as much as the market is just going to, like, keep shifting in now. So my perspective, because I get asked this a lot in interviews, and, like, I say, look, I don't necessarily think shoes are going to become less popular, right? This isn't like the snapback disaster of 3 years ago where you can't give snapbacks away now.
Or the Vans thing, right?
The Vans is the perfect example. Go and open 11 shops and then no one wants Vans anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like Vans. I don't want to slam Vans.
Nah, but I love Vans. Great skate shoes.
But I feel like now it's just like, oh, no one likes Jordan brand anymore. Oh, but Filling Pieces is doing really well and everyone's buying, like, running shoes now. And then it'll be like, oh, no one's buying run. Like, Saucony and Diadora are done. Oh, yeah, but, like, Converse and Vans are doing really good again. So I don't think it's going to burst. I think it's just going to keep shifting hard. Like, I think that hot middle to higher end area is going to do really well.
Yeah,
so that like, $500 price range is where I see the most room for improvement in the market, because guys our age will have that money as they get older and they'll spend it on the quality. And those
young kids have got this money
of course, like,
younger kids, a lot more than when I think I was young as well.
But
it seems to be the norm, paying $300 to $500 for a shoe, which, fuck man, I'd cringe if I had to spend $50 back on
my parents
shoe.
Wouldn't buy me penny ones, they bought me Podposites instead because they were cheaper. But yeah, you look at all the successful brands that have started in the last 2 years in that price bracket, Filling Pieces, ETQ, Buscemi, like all of them. There's 20 others.
And they're flying.
And they're killing. Yeah,
they're flying.
Yeah. So that's my most fun area for observation at the moment.
It's interesting to watch. Because, I mean, you spend enough time with me, I'm a pretty simple dude. A couple other bits and pieces here and there. I'm not one on that high fashion trend, but you watch it and it's really interesting. I didn't give it much hope at first, but yeah, prove me wrong.
Oh, I'm not into the 1400 at all. Like Balenciaga, and that's too much for me.
Those Buscemi, the slides.
Yeah, your business.
Yeah, you might see me catching down on Rye Foreshore in a pair of them this year. You know, I don't know.
Are they available for buy? You can buy them now, right?
Yeah,
available
for stateside. Not about here, but no? It's definitely stateside.
Oh, that's gold.
It
was funny, man.
Buttery.
Like, when I saw him make them, my first thought was like, what the hell is he doing? But then like a week later, I'm like, it's actually baller as hell. Like it's gold. Dude. And dude, working at Nike, like everyone loves slides. Like we used to hand them out. Like they were nobodies. Like they were, you know, cheap as chips. But it's like the ultimate luxury item is like, a $500 pair of slides or whatever it is.
Like, man, the most inanimate thing, but fuck, I can just drop half a stack on it. Hey, I'm only going to wear them in my house.
Exactly.
I'm going to wear them with knee-high socks, and ain't nobody going to say shit to me. Ain't nobody.
Eat burgers with a beard.
Oh, fucking
all right, well, we'll move on to something else you raised, which is like the celebrity versus sports thing. And this is something that I'm really interested in, so we can probably spend a little bit of time on it, but it's, I'll kick it off with the fact that I feel like Nike has so many athletes that brands were forced into this decision. So, like, I don't think it was necessarily a decision made through choice, more through necessity. Especially, like, even in the early 2000s when Adidas was going and signing all those rappers, right? Like, it was kind of like, well, you know, we had the NBA license, but, you know, it wasn't really, they didn't have that many players. And then, but if you look at some of the biggest successes in sneaker history, they've been rappers. Like 50s Line is still one of the biggest success stories ever for Reebok. Obviously Yeezy now. So, but then you look at Pharrell's line and it's not really doing that well. So I guess it's just about picking the right people at the right time. I think Rihanna for Puma has...
kill it.
It hasn't happened yet, but that's going to be massive, man.
Most beautiful woman in the world.
Oh, yeah, queen.
Apart from my mother, the most beautiful woman in the world.
Apart from my girlfriend, yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
But, that was a masterstroke signing her. I mean, the most popular person on Instagram at the time, I think I think she's top five still. But, absolutely destroyer.
Knows herself and got mad attitude and just fucking does her.
Yeah, so her whole range comes out pretty soon, I think. Maybe even potentially just dropped. I saw her post something on Instagram and then I went to the Puma page and I didn't see it. So I'm assuming it's close.
I was too busy ogling. Like,
yeah.
It was very seductive.
Just watching all the videos.
Sorry, James, but I wasn't looking at the product. I was looking at other things.
Hey, James, I know you're listening to this. When she comes to Melbourne, Mikey and I are just going to rock.
Meet and greet. I swear I'll bring a slobber towel. I won't slobber her.
We'll be very polite.
Always.
What's your perspective on it? Like, I guess, like, athletes are always going to sell shoes. Steph Curry for Under Armour has been priceless.
And he's just signed on a new contract for 2024, which is fucking huge.
Which is massive.
That's massive.
Did you see James Harden's drunk rant today? Like, I got 200 million. Did you see that? So good.
The beard gets to his head, I think.
And he was wearing Jordans the other day. And
he's in the middle of a contract right now, so he can sort of just flex.
Well, the North American, like... whatever at Adidas was like, he will not be wearing Jordan brand anymore.
But surely that's a bad look. If you just give a guy 200 million and he's just like, hey, by the way, I'm just going to rotate out of my Jordans before I jump on your brand. It's like, man, you ain't here about our brand. You don't give a fuck. You're just here to make money.
LeBron wore 2x U tights once and got a picture of him in the change room wearing them. Yeah. He never wore them again. Put it that way. Enough. It's a mistake you make
Hand
once.
Handy as shit.
Yeah, it's a mistake you make once. On. But who do you feel like sports will always be number one?
Look, I think, again, I wasn't around for these early periods. Mm. So, I mean, from what my research and, again, what I've talked to older cats and I've seen and done, I think the dynamics, again, changed that in the 70s, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the rappers going after the brands.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like almost a laughable thing. It's like, hey, you're a rapper, you're wearing our shit.
Cool story, bro. Yeah, yeah.
Like, the brands didn't care about these people. They didn't see the potential that was in front of them.
Except for Adidas.
Run DMC, different
it's
story.
It's a different story.
Different story.
This isn't LL and the Troop.
Different story. So, I mean, yeah, there was some definite jump-offs, early brands, and a few brands made right decisions.
Yeah.
But sports was the dominant.
Oh, yeah.
Sports was the dominant. I mean, you couldn't get past the amount of money and support that was behind sports.
Yeah.
now I really think the paradigm has shifted.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a lot of artists now are leading the way and sports is taking the back foot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, even you look at shoes, a lot of running shoes, like, we still classify them as running shoes. Yeah. They ain't running they in ain't that run, shit, man.
No one's running them.
You like, all right, you can spin as a lifestyle, but you motherfucker, you walking down the street in that shit, you ain't running.
How many people even run in chase,
you ain't running.
Flyknit races, that's a running shoe, right?
Like, yeah, definitely there's people out there running them, but the majority, not many. Like, you're buying that shit for looks.
Paul Newman bought 3 pairs from Runner's World. I can only imagine the look they had on their face.
Yeah, Paul, I love you, Paul, but you ain't running anywhere, dog. You ain't running nowhere.
No. So, yeah, I think it's interesting. They're definitely getting more. I mean, really, the most famous people in the world are the best people to sell shoes, the best people to sell anything.
They're always in the spotlight. People are always looking at them.
So, because it's pretty much musicians and sports people, right? So then, are we going to get artist and like actor and stuff endorsements down the track? Because that's kind of like the future, right? Like, I mean, they're the next most famous people. And like, at the moment, the artists are getting collabs. I mean, even Damien Hirst had a collab, you know, with Converse and stuff.
Keith Haring Foundation Keith did Haring. All the Reebok Crack His Whack stuff.
Yeah. So like, maybe they start getting endorsements moving forward, because I mean, there is only going to be so many Taylor Swift, Kanye, Kim, Rihanna famous people in music. Maybe actors are next. I don't know if I'd rock a Tom Hardy, Jake Gyllenhaal shoe, but like,
as I was saying before, Jerry Seinfeld wants to make a pro model. I'm all about that.
Yeah, you got to tell me about this. This is what a segue. I didn't even mean that. That's a pro-ish shit segue.
Anybody that hasn't read the article on Complex, it went up like a week and a half ago. It was a beautifully written piece with some really good research. There's 1,000 fucking things you could say about Jerry Seinfeld, but it was pretty well put together.
Yeah.
And like, he is, for me, the ultimate sneakerhead.
Yeah, see, I you're gonna have to maybe explain to me briefly why, and then we'll just tell people to read it. But I never watched Seinfeld.
So, what?
Yeah, I watched two episodes of Seinfeld.
Stop the interview. I'm done. I'm out. Stop the podcast. I'm out.
No, so I watched cartoons when I was a kid. I didn't watch Seinfeld. Yeah, I know. Look, you either love Seinfeld or you never watched it. There's no one in the middle.
Opposite. It's polar opposites.
Yeah. So, and it's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't watch it, right? So I'm sure if I watch it now, I'd enjoy it. But now, he always rocked Cortez's.
Everything, man.
Yeah, he rocked everything. A lot of stuff in that show. I know that. So and so much that Nike even gave him his own shoe. He had a Kicks 101 habit.
The story of... There is a pair of Kicks 101. There is a pair. The stories of Jerry Seinfeld's office back in the day on set and the amount of Nike boxes piling out of the fucking door are like legendary.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Yeah.
The dude's rocking everything under the sun, from OG Jordans to Aerobics to classic running and Cortez's, which is one of my favorite shoes, a very prominent one.
Yeah.
But the way he wore his shit, it's like...
Pro match.
I don't give a shit. Like, I just don't give a shit, you know? He's shirt tucked in, waist high, belt over the top, fucking baggy ass jeans hanging over the top. And like the shoes weren't the object.
Feature,
They were just there to be worn.
Like,
that was the coolest part about it. He wasn't out there like kids these days just flaunting the shit. It wasn't all about the shoes. He had to fly shit on the block.
Yeah.
But it's like, they're just shoes.
Yeah.
They're just shoes. And that's what made it work so beautifully. There's a... Like, I gotta find the photo. It's an iconic photo, and it's like real recent, like only in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And they're like ATX Nike Shocks.
Yeah.
Or something.
I remember that. Yeah.
Real butt ugly looking things, and they're ultramarine blue the whole way through. And he's just standing next to a Lambo in the same color. Man, only Jerry Seinfeld could pull that shit off.
Yeah.
Like, ain't nobody else will.
Like, it's like a whole other level.
If you're in shocks in this country, you're either in jail or you're about to go to jail.
Yeah. That's like Cameron with his like matching, like, vest and fucking mink and car combo
and fucking everything. But if you haven't read that article,
so he's like a sleeper sneakerhead. Robin Williams was one too, and like, that's my reference when people like ask me for like random sneakerheads. Like, everyone knows like all the famous actors and stuff.
People like look at Eminem and they go, oh, he's a sleeper, and like, the dude has amazing style. Like, he's been doing forever,
same thing forever,
but it's a different type of sleeper. It's like, it's
Robin Williams just all of a sudden will be on set in like OG Jordan 4s, God rest his soul. But like, and I'd love seeing the pictures of him that used to turn up and just be like, oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. You don't expect it from them, and that's the best part. You know, dudes like M, dudes like these rappers and stuff, you got the money,
you expect it,
it's part of the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Dudes like Jerry Seinfeld, it's like, man, that is the essential norm core.
Yeah.
And then he's got more heat than you fucking can ever believe or imagine to have on your feet.
I wonder if he's still, like, get stuff from Nike. Surely he would. I mean, those relationships last forever. Dude. Imagine what he has stashed away.
Who knows?
That kind of leads me on to the fact that you're only buying stuff like pre-2005 now, right? That's We're going to have to talk about this because this is Segway City this last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Explain to me exactly why. Is this... I would like to think it's because you want to wear stuff that no one else has got, or like maybe potentially stuff that you just... My greatest fear in buying shoes, I used to buy them and stash them for 2 years and wear them like 16 months to 24 months after I bought them because everyone who bought them had already beaten them. Yeah. Unfortunately, now Jordan Brandon and everyone retro stuff every 2 years, so it kind of ruined my thing. Yeah. I bought a pair of infrared Air Max 90s in like 2001 and to this day I haven't worn them because they came out like every 2 years since.
Yeah. It got progressively worse.
The last one was okay.
The last one was okay, but the colour just kept changing, the shape. Like, we can sit here and do
it. Yeah, podcast. Let's not do this about the 90. Like, but anyway, enough about me. Why the pre-2005 and what sort of stuff do you look for?
The biggest factor for me is the attitude shift.
Yeah.
Like, especially Bubbles, 95s,
yep.
93s, Huaraches.
Yeah.
Huarache Lights might be the only one that's kind of survived a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Hasn't been succumbed to the banana cliff toe.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Everyone's seen it, everyone knows about it, but the Bubbles are the thing that shits me the most.
Yeah.
You can take a pre-2005 pair of Air Max
with the protruding
95
bubble.
And that thing's got an ass.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
a classic lowrider car.
Yeah.
That thing's got an ass on it. It's big, it's fucking mean.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It screams, fuck you, look at
yeah,
me.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And like,
so the business perspective, I believe, was the change happened. So one, they could increase the density of the plastic in the foam, and two, to reduce popping hazard was why they did it. But I agree with you. Everyone likes the pop
I'm
out.
I'm not a guy that gives any fucks. You know, if they pop once a year, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's got to be the risk for you too, right? Like, that's outside of, like, you know, Phylon crumbling, you're going to potentially have bubbles bursting.
That's it. So it makes my fucking game a lot more fun because now I've got to be
walk light. Yeah.
Not walk. I don't care. If they pop, they pop.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, it's kind of a sick passion if they pop. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've seen the YouTube videos. I know what it is.
You want to see, talk to OG about it.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah.
Shoe, right? But it makes you think a lot more. You've got to assess shit a lot better. You've got to feel the shoe. You've got to know soft spots. Right?
Yeah,
is that feeling hard? Is that, how long is that going to last? And especially going through Japan, like, the biggest thing is the climate. The climate's a lot different.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everything's shrink wrapped.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's climate controlled in a lot of these shops, like K-Skit.
Yeah, yeah.
So on and so forth. And we've got a different climate here.
Yeah.
Totally different air. There's not as much moisture in the air.
Yeah.
So big thing for me, if you're bringing your shoes back, straight away, the temperature, the climate changes.
Yeah.
And it affects the shoe greatly.
One thing I was told by Gentry years ago when I asked him how to best keep my shoes, he goes, you wear them once. Yeah. So stuff for you... Stuff for you that's like 85, 90% is actually better.
Yeah.
You actually want someone to have worn it once or twice. Yeah.
They've already done the legwork.
Yeah.
So I'm like reaping the benefits out of it. I can clean anything.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
I have no problems cleaning anything. That's fine. I can bring anything back to life.
Yeah.
But as long as someone's put them through.
Yeah, yeah. Because they just have to break that midsole in. That little bit.
It's like a car. You buy a brand new car, you leave it in your garage and you're, fuck, I'm going to make a 30-year investment. You don't drive that car.
It's dead.
It's dead. It's like, it's a piece of metal sitting there.
Yeah,
it's inanimate.
Yeah.
As long as someone's done the legwork, given it a drive every once in a while, perfect.
So what? So you love Cortez's 95s. What else do you look on the? What else are you on the lookout for?
ACG is my weakness.
So you, me, Ray Teo, there's a few of us down here obsessed with old ACG.
Yeah.
I love like old Talarias, old ACG stuff and is the sickest.
The clothing as well.
And do you know how much of that Tinker did?
Yeah.
Tinker did a lot of the ACG stuff.
The Moab?
Yeah.
God bless you, Tinker, for giving us the Moab. I love you. Man, that shoe's just like, again, it's ugly as sin and people don't understand it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's what I love about it.
And the ACGs are coming back, apparently. ACG's back. Because, like, the last 2 years have kind of been ACG-less.
It's even longer if you really like. It's been probably, even, what, yeah. 2008, 2009.
Is it that long? Because yeah, we had that like, when I was at Smith Street and not that, when I was at employee. So, yeah, like, you're probably right.
Smith Street closed, that was the last time I saw decent ACG stuff.
Yeah, so that was 4 years ago, yeah, you're right. And,
like, clothing was made for its functional purpose.
My sole backpack of use is an ACG backpack.
There you go. And how long have you had that backpack?
Oh, yeah, like 8 years.
That's it. Paul Henry is the same. Shit was made to be used. Yeah, and then they fucking threw crazy bright colours on it like you were tripping on acid. Oh, it's like, dude, sick. Yeah, I'm in heaven. It looks crazy and it works.
And yeah, and there's like, yeah, they were probably the true pioneers of like just, well, outside of a few, obviously, like Reebok, but like just a real crazy shit for no reason. Like, this is a hiking shoe, but we're going to make it look absolutely bananas.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Trainers, like, and when I say trainers, I mean like trainer SC2s, trainer 3s, and ACGs. That was my area up until, and that and discs. So they were my three things. They're the three things I bought. So like, I'm well in that wheelhouse. Yeah, unfortunately for me, I've ruined all my ACG stuff because we haven't had it for ages.
It's got its life cycle. That's what I got a big problem with. Like, sit on shoes, like, fair enough, but give the shoes the credit. Like, they have a life cycle. Wear them, fucking enjoy them, man. Just stare at them.
I was going through my storage today and I'm looking at stuff and I'm just like, that's an 0395, that's a whatever. And I'm like, I've never worn it. Like, I got to pass it on because, like, there's no use at just sitting in my storage for another 10 years, man. Like,
it'll just crumble to pieces.
Exactly. It'll just fall apart. And I got like meter 95s that I've never touched and stuff. And it's like, they're too good to just have sitting there.
I saw actually a really good article. Kids in Russia.
Yeah.
It's a group called Sneaker Shot. They've been around for 2 years or so now.
Okay.
Second anniversary just the other week ago, and I'm good friends with the shooter, the photographer, Konstantin. Beautiful kid. You know, Russia's a crazy place, but he's a nice kid.
Yeah.
And someone over there got their hands on a Neon 95 original sample with a white midsole.
Oh, is that the one that the guy got crucified for wearing that burst?
Splashed him.
Yeah.
Like, power to you, dude.
Yeah.
And the photography set is beautiful.
I saw the pictures, yeah.
Really nice photos. And then he's like doing the whole corny fucking sneaker jump thing. And you're like, oh, this is kind of cute. And then
boom.
And then boom. Yeah. Fucking bang. Everything's gone. There's fucking foam everywhere. And it's like, thank you.
That kid got made my day. Massacred. Yeah, I know. Like,
the shoe has a cycle. Wear it for what it's worth. Who cares? Like, yeah, I understand and I appreciate history, but... You know what? We live in a digital age now.
Yeah, yeah.
You got photos.
Oh, and they're still available. They're out currently on the shelves. So
that's it.
Well, maybe not with the white midsole, but good enough.
Yeah, you know, it's been documented. Yeah, it got destroyed, but fuck. Like, what other shit hasn't humanity destroyed?
Yeah. Good,
like, you really want to get deep on that? A pair of shoes is the least of our problems.
Yeah,
right?
Especially like a replaceable peer, like available pair of shoes. It's not the biggest deal in the world. No. But that, and dude, if you took a look at it from a marketing perspective, it's probably the best couple of $100 that company had ever spent. They got run on every sneaker site. I saw it reposted at least 5 or 6 times on my Facebook wall.
Yeah.
Great couple of $100 to spend.
That's it. And a couple of photos and you're laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, if you got it, wear it. Don't let it sit there.
Yeah.
Like, shoes have feelings too sometimes.
Yeah. Now, one thing you brought up is chop and screw and then is customizing dead. I will put this in the one. Now, as someone who has been customizing for 10 years and someone who works in a magazine that no longer features customs.
Who, this guy?
Not you specifically, not but don't think I haven't noticed. what is your perspective on it? Like, do you still, like, because, I mean, my thing is, I kind of feel like we're being punished for... the last 2 years where pieces of shit got posted just because they're available. Like, for a long time, like, every site was just posting mum and dad bullshit. Hey, look, it's a Jordan and it's purple customs. And I feel like great shit isn't being posted now because of the shit that was posted 2 years ago. How do you feel about it? And then I'll give you my opinion.
I think, like, there's a pretty strong correlation to the actual state of the scene. Everything's pretty heavily saturated at the moment. When I was young and I was sort of getting into it, I could only probably name 10, 15 solid customizers.
We all knew each other too.
Off the top of my head, that's me. Like, dudes like yourself, dudes like Sabotage, it was a small circle.
Emmanuel Labor, Mosh.
Yeah, those names are still sort of household names now.
Yeah.
But then there's all these new guys that have just popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, it's it gets a lot into like the fake market as well.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
You just can't tell what's what anymore, what's genuine, what's authentic, what's hand-painted, what's reconstructed in China but fucking assembled in USA.
What upper, is the upper of a recon that's on a fake midsole authentic? Like, don't fight about that as well.
It just creates this huge, weird grey area and it just gives me a headache. It's I just choose to ignore it now.
Yeah.
I've got mad graffiti backgrounds, I got mad appreciation for customizers, I always have, because I understand the art, I understand the time it takes, and the creativity. You can't just pull that shit out of your ass.
Yeah.
You can't just fucking, I've tried picking up a texture and a volume, doing a piece on the that shit ain't easy, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes an idea, it takes direction. So I got mad love for customizers. I don't have mad love for kids just trying to make a quick buck out of the scene and chop and slap and shit together. But in the same vein, it's created some real cool shit where dudes have just taken one shoe and shopped it with another one.
Oh, yeah.
There's some real cool shit happening there.
Even just started 5 years ago-ish.
Something simple as, I think the guy's name was Randy the Cobbler. He took like a Visvim-ish $30 moccasin upper. And chucked a Huarache sole on it. $180 all up. Couple of hours work. Fuck, beautiful looking shoe.
A shoe surgeon has just done a few like Visvim-y kind of mock uppers and they go so dope on running midsoles. It's such a good fit.
It's a perfect, I mean, even for the Huarache with its origins and the backstory. It's a perfect correlation.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks great.
I think this started, from memory, on the 20th anniversary of the Air Force One, and Jester and KB did Air Force Ones with 360 midsoles. I think that's the first time I can really remember that happening, because there was a big prize in that competition and I didn't go in it. And everyone's like, why didn't you go in it? And I'm like, because if I don't win, it means I'm not the best. And like, I think I was at uni and I was like, these guys, like, I don't have 45 hours to spend on a shoe that I'm not getting money for. Like, it's not going to happen. So I didn't enter that competition.
The big one I actually saw recently in Japan, I found a whole, so I don't know if the trend was coming or going.
Yeah.
I saw a couple on foot, but I found a fuckload in reseller stores.
Yeah.
It was like Jordans on Vibram soles.
Oh, wow.
And Air Force Ones
on. So they were real? Who knows,
What's real and fake?
I know.
I didn't even trust the half the show.
Grey market is the thing that ruined my brain 2 or 3 years ago. When that started happening, I checked out. I can't deal with it anymore.
Who's to say the shit in the stores is real these days? Like, fuck, who knows what goes on? You've got Jordans arriving in stores with mold and shit in them. So
You know what, though? I'll say this. I went to Hong Kong in 2008, and that was a big problem in Hong Kong then.
What's real in stores and stuff?
Yeah, it was the humid climate not dealing with unsatisfactorily treated suede.
Yeah,
it happens. I'm not surprised at that at all because you got to remember a lot of the shoes get pushed through Hong Kong ports and stuff.
Definitely.
But
it's a hard thing. Like, how there's no legitimate, like, I love people that fucking call themselves authentication gurus and shit. Like, who are you to say what's real and fake? You might have a lot of experience.
You might be 95% right.
You might have a lot of experience, but there is no way, unless you physically were on the production line, took the shoe from the production line and then took it to where the fuck you're standing right now, you can't say that shoe's legitimate or not. There's a few key signs, but fuck, man, it's a big world out there.
It was so easy for us.
I know,
like,
dudes that are making some of the fakes. You know dudes that are making fakes better than the quality of the Jordan or Nike or Reebok or New Balance is putting out. Like, it's a reality. It happens. And there's a big market for it. So who's to say what's real and what's fake?
I remember, like, I did authenticity checks for Nike when I worked there, and like, it used to be so easy, man. It was like the tag wasn't right, the font wasn't
This was 10 years ago? 10 years ago? It's,
8, 10 years ago.
Even the shit I used to have come back at me when I was working at Foot Locker. Dudes would bring fake shit and it's like, come on, man. Is this a joke? Did you buy this from fucking, like, seriously?
They got it from the Vic Market.
Like, you got it from Vic Market. I can tell. Like, I'm not stupid. Like, this doesn't even say Nike. Like, come on. It's hard, man.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like, hard. We could talk about grey market for a long time. And I've actually, I know someone who deals in grey market stuff. And I've considered having them on the podcast anonymously to kind of just explain to people exactly how it works. And I still might do it because I think it'll be.
I'd love to hear.
It'd be really interesting.
I'd be so down to hear that.
But I don't know if he feels comfortable. I've been asking him to do it, but it'll be tough to get him on and then not have me get a million emails asking who he is. That I'm kind of trying to avoid that too.
Yeah.
But
if Matt does it, shut your mouth and get educated.
Just be good knowledge.
Then everyone wins.
Yeah, yeah. And because like, yeah, there's kids. Yeah, I mean, that's how people get stuff early because a lot of this early stuff now isn't fake. No. That's the difficult thing.
And that's why I think my taste now is going in vintage because you can't fake age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they've tried.
Yeah.
We've watched them try with the vintage blazers and they paint some yellow shit on the midsole. Yeah. It's like, man,
no.
I can see through your bullshit. No. You know, you can't fake character, and that's what I love about shoes. You can't fake the naturally fucking deep like imperfections in the creasing.
Yeah, yeah.
That shit takes time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't fake time.
That vintage
era.
That's the only
thing you can't fake. That was disgusting.
The Elite. The best thing about that was that I was working at Smith Street and I was buying vintage shit then, like 1991, like Sabre highs and stuff. And so many people on eBay were buying vintages because sneakers were becoming more popular, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously they identified the trend and thought that we were doing it because we wanted our shoes to look old. It was like, no, we just want stuff that people don't have. And then they like just could not sell. That was the greatest
sat on
release. Oh man,
so
I loved that. But yeah, in regards to it, like people ask me all the time and I guess they're probably interested in my perspective. I don't think customizing's dead. I just think it's saturated and there isn't enough original people anymore. Like I literally have people on Instagram hashtagging SecureD copying my shit. And I'm like
sick.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you want me to say? Like, I don't like you're stealing my stuff and telling me about it. But like, yeah, it does my head in. So basically,
totally.
To be honest,
you did something that made someone else's eyes open up. And that's not a bad thing. It just depends how you look at it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't... I never got angry about the fakes either. Like, because I think I was the second or third most faked customizer behind Sabotage.
Same thing. Like, fucking biting is a style. Like, it's a form of flattery. If someone wants to bite your shit, let them bite it.
Yeah,
you know, you're always one step ahead in that form.
I think, so this by the time this comes out, the Sneaker Freaker article will come out. Like, I got a collab with Rui and we're doing an original shoe and I'm producing toys and stuff now. So I'm actually moving away from the custom thing. Like, I will custom shoes till I die. I want to produce, like, a book, like, 50 years of SecureD and have, like, 50 years worth of customs in it. I just might paint one a month now or whatever. Like, whatever it ends up being. But the custom thing for me, it's... When for about 3 or 4 years, Sabotage and I, as far as I know, were the only people making a living off it for a very long time. Sabotage stopped. Outside of like what you would like consider a cobbler and stuff, which only recently really became considered customizers. It's a different entity, if you ask me, but we don't need to get into that. We were the only ones. And then Mark even stopped for a while. And I'm not responsible for Mark starting it all again, but I'm a big part of the reason he started again and this whole trend, and it's come up. And I get kids ask me all the time, like, oh, how do you make money? Like, can I make a living off it? And every kid I say, if any kid customizers are listening to this, like, don't try and pay your bills with customs. Yeah. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, especially if you don't live in America.
Hey, passion doesn't pay bills.
No. So
you get life points from fucking doing work of passion.
Yeah.
You don't get money out of it.
My two best pieces of advice, which I think can, potentially just bring a little bit more fun back to customizing and save these kids heartache. Number one, be original. The best piece of advice I ever got from anyone was from Sabotage. I was really sick when I was in Singapore. I had glandular fever, the chicken pox, then pneumonia. I was like borderline anno. I looked terrible. And that's the first time I met Sabotage.
Yuck.
I was really sick, man. I had a really bad run. My boys were calling me Bubble Boy because I just was sick for like 6 months.
You see that story yourself.
Anyway, he caught up with me. He was a legend of dude just for making the time. And his advice to me was like, stop doing like Spawn customs. If Nike want a Spawn shoe, they'll go to Todd McFarlane. He's like, do your own shit. And I took a hit on sales for a year or two, but now I have a style and now I don't even have to put my signature on the shoes anymore.
That's it. It's your style. And
exactly.
That's what you're known for. And that's what kids are copying.
So that's what you need to do. That's tip one. Tip two, diversify your income stream. Don't rely on customs for a living because there's a month where you might not have an order and
trends
you ain't going to...
come and go.
Yeah.
Trends
so
come and
look
go.
At what I'm doing. I'm doing apparel design, sneaker design, toys, and one massive thing I can't talk about. Yeah.
Keep that one for
us. But yeah, so like it's not something, unless like even JBF and stuff, like he's doing great right now, but like who knows what will happen for him in 3 or 4 years. I think he'll end up getting absorbed into a brand at some point. I know he's very big on independent, and this is from a completely outsider perspective, but like unless he starts an apparel label or a store or something, it's really hard to continue to be independent for a long time.
And even still, like from when he jumped into the scene, he's even gone a bit quiet. Like, he's really slowed down. Whether he's, like, from a public
view, Yeah.
You know, his shit's not in the limelight every day like it was.
There was that rampage. So I'm thinking he's probably working on, like, I think he's trying to create more of a label, right? So he wants to... He's done, like, his first 2 original shoes. Dom, the shoe surgeon, has been doing a few original shoes. So a lot of these guys are doing originals now, which I think is super dope. You can almost have, like, a mini sub, like your own sort of label now, which is pretty exciting. But yeah, I'd just say, look, do something else. Like, do it for fun. Like, I didn't start this to make money. So, you know, it's bought me a room full of toys.
That's it. But my passion's bought me a dungeon full of sneakers that have fallen apart. And exactly. I'm happy as hell about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd probably die happy as hell.
One question I was going to end this podcast with every time was like, what shoes are you going to be buried in? And I never asked anyone that because it's morbid as shit. But for me, it's Jordan 14s. It's got to be.
Nah, fuck it. Barefoot.
Barefoot. No, barefoot. I'm getting cremated anyway, but I don't really want to burn Jordan 14s, but I like the visual image of it.
Going out barefoot, dog. I go out the way I came in, butt naked, barefoot. That's it.
Oh, man.
I didn't come out with shoes. I'm not going in with shoes.
Well, I wish I came out with shoes, and I will be going out.
If I came out with shoes, it might have been a pair of Ultramarine 180s. Maybe.
With Ultramarine 180s, I've never owned a pair, and I would only ever own a pair if they changed the suede to leather. I know you're wearing them, Mike. I saw you when you came in. I know you're wearing them.
Every day. All right. I've got like 5 of these fuckers. I love them.
The suede, I know you can clean it, but it's just a pain in the ass.
Just keep beating them and just let them like look shit. I don't care. Yeah. Just buy a new pair.
What am I wearing?
It's not hard to find shoes, man.
Dakota 501.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. I didn't see those.
Vegas gold stabs. All right. Well, thank you for doing the podcast. We'll definitely have you back to do another one. We only got through like half our topics. So, thank you for stopping by. And, we'll see you again soon.
Shout out Burn City. Shout out Saintside. Shout out Hans motherfucking Chong. Donovan motherfucking DC, the king of the world.
I feel like I'm going to have to cut you off because this could go for a long time.
Yeah, you probably should.
See you, man.